This is Inside the Magic Studio with your host, Robert Martin, the interview podcast with the best in Magic the Gathering. I'd like to thank GatheringMagic.com, where you can find this show and some of the best articles in Magic and Cool Stuff, Inc.
Guest this episode is a man you'll know from his numerous things he does for Star City Games. He's a comedian. He's a person that has a different view of Magic and gets to be able to share it with you. My guest this episode, Ruben Bressler.
Hi, how's it going?
Wonderful. What originally drew you to Star City Games?
I'll take you all the way back to the beginning of how I got involved here, which was Evan Irwin at one point was the only one doing Magic's video stuff. He started the Magic Show right when YouTube started becoming a thing. And he correctly identified that that's a really good way to bring Magic to the masses. It started getting popular, and me and my friends in college were very interested in it. And then one week he was like, hey, I'm going on vacation next week. If somebody wants to make an episode and send it to me and I think it's good, then yeah, I'll put it up. So my friend Nick Miller came up to me and said, hey, we both play Magic. We both are very good at writing. We're pretty good on camera. We were both stand-up comedians. Let's make this thing and send it to him. And I was like, okay. So originally it wasn't even my idea. I was just a lucky guy to have this other guy who decided to do this. So we filmed, you can go look this up, episode 43 of The Magic Show. They're on 270 or something now. The Future is Bleak, which was a future site preview show. And we made that. And we sent it in, and Evan liked it enough that he posted it, and we've been in contact with Evan, you know, off and on ever since. We started writing for various other websites. I started making my own little video snippets. I made a show called The Main Phase for a little while, which was very, you know, internet-y, kind of internet video, lots of jump cuts. And that ended up getting Evan and The Ferret. They decided that I was worth hiring as a writer full time for Star City. So I started doing a weekly column, where I would make a video about once a month. Then I sort of fell away from Magic for a little while, but Evan always had kept his eye on me. And so last year at Grand Prix Nashville, he had called me out a few weeks earlier and said, Ruben, you got to start making videos again on Twitter. And that got retweeted like 20 times. And I was like, oh, okay. Apparently people like me. So I came up with this idea of this news show that I was like, well, nobody really does the news for Magic. I think that there's a niche there that I can tap into. Plus, I'd been doing something Weekend Update-like for my college sketch comedy show. And so I just decided to take two things that I'm good at, knowing about Magic and knowing about writing jokes, putting them together, and delivering the news in such a way that, you know, Magic players would have the patience for. And so that's how the news name came to be. And at Grand Prix Nashville, Evan told me that he wanted to hire me on full time at Star City Games. And so so now I get to tell jokes about Magic for part of my job, which is pretty awesome.
Have you gotten any flack from people that you've made fun of on the show?
You know, I haven't. And I'm a little disappointed at that. But I know that's weird to say. But no, for the most part, people understand that it's a news show, and especially the bigger name pros know that they're names, they're celebrities, they can be made fun of. But even people who aren't big names that win tournaments, I think that they latch onto it. One of my favorite stories is Ryan Forsberg, who won a tournament, I believe, in St. Louis. I made a joke, like his intro, I have these stupid little goofy intros for everybody's names that are usually just inside jokes or little tiny throwaway lines, and I called him Bad Guy Henchman Ryan Forsberg, because to me he looked like the bad guy in a movie's right-hand man, and that was my nickname for him. And so later, I was at some event, and there was like 20 of us at dinner. And the subject about that nickname came up, and I was like, oh, no, you're not mad about that, are you? And everyone started laughing and said, no, that's his new nickname now. And so I think everyone who's been involved with who's been in my crosshairs so far have been okay with it. I haven't heard any bad responses yet. That doesn't mean that there won't be. But Magic, I think that people can handle a little bit of a joke.
How did you get involved with the In Contention podcast?
So the In Contention podcast was originally a podcast with Sam Stoddard and whoever was around at the time in Central Ohio. So people like Nick Dees was an early member. Danny Everhart was on early episodes, and Matt Cranstuber would be on several many early episodes. The name of the first episode of that podcast, which wasn't always called In Contention, was actually called Ruben Bressler's Little Urban Achievers, which I wasn't even on that episode. They were just talking about me making videos and stuff. Anyway, so fast forward to about episode 60, it's Cranny and Sam working together. And now I'm going to be a guest on the show, and they decide to just bring me on full time, because the way we work, the way we bounced off each other, just really worked. The way we all think slightly differently, but can all argue our points really well. So they brought me on full time, and then of course around episode 80 or so, Sam went to go work for Wizards of the Coast. Pretty much right at the same time, I moved down to Roanoke to work at Star City Games, so it was no longer a Central Ohio-based podcast anymore. We brought on Joey Pasco when Sam left of Yo MTG Taps and SCG Live fame, and you know he's a different kind of guy than Sam. He brings a little bit of a different perspective to the table, but I think that the show is still pretty great. And we have a bigger fan base now that we've become the official podcast of the Star City Games Open Series. We've got, you know, a lot of dedicated listeners, and I think that we're in a pretty good place. But I got pretty lucky to be able to just fall in with some talented podcasters in Cranny and Sam. So I'm pretty grateful about that too.
Considering the fact you get to be able to provide a unique perspective for the SCG tournaments because you're at a lot of them.
Right.
How much has that influenced the podcast?
Oh, I would say it influences a lot. You can have a bird's eye view of the tournament just by watching on SCG Live, but you get a whole different feel of the tournament when you're walking around the actual aisles and seeing, you know, you can see, for example, a guy could not be on camera and make top eight, and you've been watching him all day. So you can get a feel for the lists that are in the room. If something starts out well and then falls off the map, I do a lot of deck techs with interesting decks that are doing well at the beginning of a tournament that end up something like 5-4 or 6-3, but started out 3-0, 4-0, something like that, and they get my attention. Also, you get to see the sort of team aspect. Groups of friends that bring similar decks or have testing together to see where they've developed along the way. And so I think that, boots on the ground, there's no replacement for it. And Joey has this also. Joey goes to a lot of events as well, although he's a lot busier in the booth, of course. So being able to actually stalk the feature match area and, you know, keep an eye on the top tables, I definitely feel it has an impact on how much knowledge that I have of various tournaments.
Let's talk a little bit about your SCG Live work.
Okay.
When you get to do coverage for them and do a live game report, how difficult is it to actually do that?
Written, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that is surprisingly difficult to get to like do with just no practice. For example, we had to press Adrian Sullivan and Joey Pasco into service in New Orleans when we had a technical malfunction, and we did a lot of written feature matches that weekend because we didn't have any live coverage. And so I pressed them into service to write feature matches, and I would be, you know, I would pump it out, you know, 5-10 minutes after the round was over, and they would still be working on this because they didn't have as much practice as I did. It's certainly something that it's a skill that you can master, but it is a skill and not everyone has it. And, my fellow event coverage coordinator, Glenn Jones, and I have a lot of practice with not only being able to deliver the facts, but being able to deliver them in an entertaining way, because people don't want to just read, you know, this guy played a land on turn one, and then this guy played a land, and then this guy played a Farseek, and then this guy played a land, and then a creature. That gets boring if you just do a turn-by-turn breakdown. But if you give a feel for the match, if you can summarize a match in 3 or 4 paragraphs and say it was pulling this way, and then it was pulling this way, but then this pulled it out, and you can summarize that and bring them into the action. It's a lot like storytelling, but you have to do it in such a way that you can turn around the story in an hour, because people will lose interest in your round five feature match eventually, right? And so it's a lot of fun to do. It's definitely a challenging skill, but I enjoy it a lot. And I think that people, it can look difficult, but I think that it's just, it's one of those things that if you practice it enough, you can do it. It's not terribly demanding compared to some of the other things that I do.
You also get the opportunity to do interviews live.
Right. That is one of the skills that's much more difficult to try to master.
Is there one that is memorable to you?
Boy. Well, I've done so many, and I've done a bunch with artists and altarists and various personalities. I'll tell you the ones that come to mind first. The main one that comes to mind first is when I interviewed Lauren Nolan right after he won the Invitational in Indianapolis. I had never interviewed the champion of an event so big, and I knew Lauren from before, but I didn't realize how good he was at Magic at the time. We had actually driven, he was in my back seat when I drove to the Baltimore Invitational as a player, and we both did okay, but I had no frame of reference of how good he was. And then he won the largest, at the time, the largest Standard Open ever in Cincinnati. And then he won the Invitational. And this was just, you know, sort of, oh, okay, this guy suddenly. He's very good friends with a bunch of the guys from the Cincinnati area that I'm friends with. I actually met him through Adam Prozac. And so That one sticks out to me because it was the first time presenting that big of an award to someone live on camera. I think that's probably the one that I would identify as the most memorable.
There are situations you get with people that aren't familiar with being interviewed.
Right.
What techniques do you do to draw someone out when they may not be comfortable being interviewed?
Yeah, every once in a while you'll get a not great interview. You know, Magic players in general are, and I know this because I am one, you know, people who are a little bit cloistered, a little bit protective of themselves because they were made fun of in high school for playing Magic or because they have social awkwardness issues. And this is who I am too. I've managed to outgrow it and move on to being who I am now. But certainly not everyone is completely comfortable on camera. And so I try to, whenever I'm about to interview somebody, I say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the deck in general. I'm going to ask you about these specific cards, or I'm going to ask you about this specific tournament. Ask you a little bit about your personality, what decisions you've made over such and such. Is there anything else you would like for me to ask? And then see if they have something that they're more comfortable talking about. But I think that for the most part, it takes a good interviewer to make people feel comfortable on camera. And you have to really feel the person out while you're interviewing them in order to make them feel the most comfortable. Some people like it when I talk a lot, if I have a lot of setup and allow them to have a very short answer. Some people prefer it if I only have a not a brief introduction, but a sort of open-ended introduction so that they can talk for a long amount of time about several subjects as opposed to me setting up each question. You just sort of have to feel it out as the interview goes, I guess.
At an SCG Invitational, you do a live newsening.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to do a live newsening?
It's pretty tough. So my idea for this came before the first Invitational I worked and was like, well, we have this gap in between the standard top eight in the morning on Sunday and the Invitational top eight in the afternoon. We have this little 2-hour gap that we should fill in with something, right? So among the things that we can put in there, how about I just do a live newsening? And this did a couple things. One, it was an awesome new thing that we could throw into the coverage that would bring people in. Two, it gives me an opportunity to perform in front of a live audience, because I love a live audience. One of the things I don't like currently about my newsening is that there's just no way to actually have a live audience, a la The Daily Show or Weekend Update or anything like that. But at Invitationals, I can get myself, you know, 10 people watching the show, capture a little bit of laughter from the crowd. But as good, as fun as it is and as good as it is pretty tough because you have to wait until the tournament ends Saturday night. Then I write a joke for each member of the top eight. And if I don't know them, or, you know, even if I do know them, it can be difficult to write jokes. And plus I want to add two or three other little jokes of news items from the past week. And so I write, you know, 10, 11 jokes and perform them the next morning. And you don't get a ton of sleep at Invitationals, as you know.
Absolutely.
You know, you do something like 50 rounds of magic if you're on coverage. We don't really get any time off. So, it can be a little bit grueling, and by Sunday morning, you're feeling it, you know, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, you're certainly feeling it. But, I think that, I'm certainly not planning on stopping doing the live newsenings, at Invitationals, and they're, you know, among, with the live newsening, doing the interviewsenings, doing all the stuff for Invitationals is very special to me. I love doing the different kinds of comedic elements that I can add to that little weird persona that I've created. And the live newsening is certainly one of those, and I love it, even if it's tough.
You've been on all sides of coverage for Star City Games Live. Mm-hmm. Is there something you would like to see that would improve the product in the future? Besides more of you.
Sure. Well, of course, that's going to help. That's a good question. Well, there are lots of ways that we could improve Magic coverage. There have been lots of discussions of how to do this among, you know, various outlets. Most notably, Cedric Phillips had an article several months ago about how to improve Magic coverage and stuff like that. But without spending too much money or hiring on too much manpower, because we're still a little tiny group of guys, you know what I mean? We've got two directors, one event coverage coordinator at each show, so we can't have too much. I think that Wizards coverage has a lot more leeway in the things that they can do, doing the live hand coverage, for example. I would love to be able to do that, but it's just not feasible with our current level of manpower, but I think that there are certainly things that we can add to the coverage. One thing that I would like to see added is more character development, building up the personalities of the game, and so having information on hand on the people we bring on camera. Or I always like when for example, if Patrick Sullivan's on camera and you have Cedric Phillips in the booth, they're really good friends, so you get these personal stories and you get these little insights into their play that you might not otherwise get. That's the kind of stuff that I really like. And so having a bigger library, bigger, more biographies on the players, especially the ones that people might not necessarily know, the Open Series All-Stars that aren't necessarily the huge names from the Grand Prix. I think that if we did a little bit more research into that kind of stuff, it would add a lot to the broadcast.
You have another career in comedy.
That's right.
And I went to one of your shows that you did. I thought it was great.
Well, I appreciate that.
What would you like to do with your second career?
Yeah. Well, before I started working for Star City Games, I was living in my parents' attic, and I was doing stand-up comedy 4 or 5 nights a week in Columbus, Ohio. And that is honestly what I'm best at. I've known for a long time that what I'm best at is telling stories, completing sentences, making people laugh, delivering jokes and stuff like that. That's my top skill. And so I would love to become a professional comedian in one form or another, writing for Colbert Report or doing something for a sitcom or becoming a traveling stand-up comedian would be fine. I did try the traveling to from college to college, club to club lifestyle for a little while, and it was not good for me. The hours of just sitting and driving, the food was not good because I'm diabetic. I need a very specific sort of diet and sleep schedule, and it was just not healthy. And so I gave up on that, much like I gave up on trying to be a poker player for a little while. And so having a very strict schedule is important. I would love to be able to try my hand at acting and stand-up comedy in the traditional sense, but at this point in my life, working at Star City Games is my dream job. So I'm not eager to move on anytime soon. So I'm pretty happy where I'm at.
Being that you're young and that you're in your current dream job, what else would you like to do for Star City Games?
Wow. Well, like I said, I'm in my dream job for now. I'm not saying this will be my dream job forever. You know, there are lots of things out there that I would like to do. But at this point in my life, I have a job related to my favorite hobby where I use the skills that I learned in college, got hired to do that job in this economy. It's not an easy task. And so I feel very fortunate to be able to be in my position where I'm happy and, you know, with what I'm doing. Star City Games has given me a wonderful opportunity to travel around the country and cover Magic tournaments. I would love to try to build Star City Games Live, SCG Live, to, you know, I'm not going to say that we're going to build it up to League of Legends size. You know, that is a huge production that is a much different monster than we have in Magic. But I would love to be able to grow Magic coverage to say, oh, I don't know. Let's say we had, how many did we have? We had 28,000 people watching the finals of the Pro Tour in Montreal. I see no reason why we can't reach six digits. And that would mean that Star City Opens would get closer to the 28,000 person watching mark. I think that it's not outside the realm of possibility to grow the company to such a point that other companies want to sponsor our live events, or that we get, for example, we get covered on ESPN like we used to in the late 90s. We had a deal with Wizards of the Coast had a deal with ESPN2 in the late 90s. I don't think that there's any reason why we can't go back to that. So things like that are sort of on my radar. But honestly, I don't have any goals really in mind other than to just do the best job that I personally can and help everyone else do the best job they personally can and reach as high as we can and get as much as we can out of it.
You have someone very special in your life now.
I do.
How does she handle your job with all the travel and time commitments to it?
You're referring to my girlfriend, Sarah, just so everybody out there knows. She's actually visiting me right now. She's here in Roanoke visiting. And she doesn't live with me right now. She's finishing up her graduate program at the University of Arizona State in Phoenix. And so we don't even live in the same time zone. So we're apart a lot anyway. But I will say that the game of Magic and my job allowed me to travel to Las Vegas for an open for a week where we stayed in Las Vegas for a week. My job has allowed me to have enough vacation hours that I was able to fly out to Phoenix to visit her a couple months ago for an entire week. And she's decided to come here for her spring break to visit. And she's going to be moving here in May. And so she's very open to the game. The thing about it is that I don't have a problem with her not being as invested in the game as me. I've been playing since I was 12, you know, I've been playing for 14, 15 years at this point, but she still wants to learn. And that's the great thing about Magic is that you can start at any level and you're on the same playing field. Your lands still only tap for one mana at a time, unless you're playing Gaea's Cradle or whatever, but you get my point. And so I think that she sees my passion for the game And I think that that's an attractive quality, I guess, is when you have something that you're very passionate about, you want to see that person continue with their passion. So she's very open to it, and I can't wait to teach her more about magic, because basically all I've gotten done so far is taught her the basics. And you can't really follow along with a cube draft, for example, if all you know is how creatures work and things like that. So I'm excited to see where that goes.
The other thing it seems like, in my personal opinion, that she seemed to bring to you is, I don't want to know if it's focus or a calmness. It just seems like when you're on camera now, you have more of a calming presence where you may or may not have fully had that before. But at least in my picture, with the time frame that she has been a part of you, that things have changed for you. Do you think that's happened?
Well, I'll have to let her know that. That's very nice of you. Yeah, I certainly think that I am a much happier person with a stable girlfriend in my life. I've also been sort of settling into the job ever since I got it last year. I've been sort of trying to get my sea legs with the job, and I think I'm finally getting it exactly right. I'm finally there where I'm sort of got everything down to a little bit of a science, and I'm much more comfortable in the SCG Live coverage coordinator role now that I have a firm grasp of the job. I do think that she has a calming effect on me, and I think it is very positive, and I'm ecstatic that's visible. That's awesome.
Is there anything you want to say to someone out there that is attempting to try to work their way into the magic community, whether it's through a podcast or whether it's trying to be a commentator, or you know, even have the goal of working with Star City Games? What advice can you give them?
Well, I can tell you how I got the job. And the way I got the job was very strange. The way I got the job was I substituted for Evan, and then I just started writing. That's all I did. I just made videos, and I started writing articles and sent them to the websites that would post them. I became a little bit popular. People liked what I had to say. Then I got hired by a different website. Even more people decided they liked what I had to say. Then I got hired by Star City Games. So what I would say is get yourself out there. Put your voice out into the community. Because everyone has a shtick. I am a jester. I'm a sort of a troubadour. Sort of a funny presenter of the news of the day, you know, and you know, there might be room for another one of that, but there's certainly room for other comedic elements in magic. There's certainly room for much more serious documentarian style people. You yourself are an interviewer. That's certainly a niche that many people might be interested in. There's much more to the community than just being good at the game. So my top suggestion would be get involved in the community. Write articles and get them published wherever you can with whatever the highest viewership you can get them, be it on an upstart website or something as big as StarCityGames.com. I would also get very involved. It's actually becoming more and more important to get involved in social networking, particularly Twitter. Twitter is a very lively place for discussion and feedback for the Magic community. I currently follow a little less than 2,000 people on Twitter, all of them in the Magic community. Not all of them in the Magic community. About 1,900 of them are Magic community. The rest of them are like, I don't know, actors from Star Trek The Next Generation and things like that. But there's certainly a wide array of people that I follow on Twitter who aren't famous, who don't even write, maybe, but have a lot of interesting things to say. So I would get involved with social networking, especially Twitter. If you can't find anyone to post your articles on their website, post them on your own blog. Create a magic blog. Or find someone else who has a magic blog. Lots of people have become very successful by starting their own magic blog. Evan Irwin is one of them. Tom LaPilli is another. Neil Talbot, Wrong Way Go Back, is another one who has a who's very successful with the blogging community. There's a whole array of different types of blogs out there. You can talk about competitive things. You can talk about Cube. You can talk about vintage. You can talk about art, just art. You can talk about just cosplay. There are so many different things in the Magic community that you can hone in on. Just find, the most important thing that I would say, if you want to find your place, is decide what you love best about Magic. Because the rest of it is going to surround you. I like to play Magic. I really like to play Magic. But it's not what I like best about it. I love the art in Magic. I really do. But it's not what I love best. What I love best is breaking down the minutiae of the tournament scene for other people to understand better. And so that's why I'm a coverage person. There's something out there for everyone in this community. The hobby is big enough that you can find your own little corner of it and become the master of that domain. And all you have to do is find where your voice fits in the most. And so if you're having trouble with finding that, just take a few more years. Or ask some friends where you think what corner of the Magic world would fit best for you. If you're specifically interested in doing things like I'm doing, like in coverage, first of all, it's my job. Stop coming for it. No, I'm kidding. But if you're interested in doing coverage, you got to get your voice out there specifically. And that, of course, lends itself to things like podcasting and making your own video series. I would suggest trying to make your own video series with sort of soliloquy, sort of diatribe kind of internet Zay Frank or Philip DeFranco style production to be able to just get people used to how you talk and how you present your ideas. And so I would suggest either starting a podcast or starting a YouTube channel and just getting your voice out there, because once your voice is out there, then you can start to hone your craft. But not until you put yourself out there are you going to get any answers about it.
The one fun thing about having someone like Ruben on the show is that he's a visionary. He's got the ability to look at Magic from so many different ways and present it in a way that people can enjoy Magic and have a little fun with it. I'd like to thank Ruben for being on the show, along with my sponsor, GatheringMagic.com and Cool Stuff, Inc. Again, if you want to reach the show, my email is themagicstudio1@gmail.com or on Twitter under The Magic Studio or my personal account, TheBeamy. And again, thank you for listening.